Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
To open our discussion today, let us read from the book of Luke chapter 14, from verse 26. It says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother," Jesus was speaking here, "and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, he now said, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, this is the reason why he said this, verse 28, and that's where the lesson that I'm trying to pick for us today is going to come out from. He said, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Now, I read this, you know, and it's going to connect in an interesting way to what I want to discuss today. You know, we have been talking about the seven attitudes that produce failure and how we should be careful to avoid them. Now, we have explained it. Let me just take a few moments to review the general framework of what I've been saying. And that's the fact that life is in parts. Life has parts. That is, God set rules into life. And where you are going to get to in life is not determined by your desire. It's not determined by what you really want. It's determined by the roads of life that you have chosen to travel upon. So if you choose a road that leads to life, Jesus said, "Narrow is that one that leads to life, and few they are that find it." Alright? Then you will find life for your soul. But if you choose the broad way that leads to destruction, which many people are traveling upon, when you get to the end of the days of your life, or when you are supposed to start enjoying fruit for your life, you will discover that it's failure and frustration and destruction that will have come upon you. It is not because you did not desire good. It is because of the roads or paths of life that you have chosen. All right, that's why you get to certain places, and that's what we have been explaining. Now, I also said that the way by which you choose those paths, all right, it's by the moral choices that you make in life. And that's why we're discussing the seven attitudes, all right, that produce failure. These are the things that people do and their lives don't turn out well, all right? Now, so we've talked about a number of them. I've talked about the matter of fear, and then I've gone on to talk about the matter of pride and arrogance, that is pride producing arrogance. Now, what I want to talk about today is that of forsaking principles. You know, I said there are seven of them. The third one I want to talk about is the habit of forsaking principles that a lot of people have. And that's why I read this scripture that we started with. Now, Jesus said this, and let me explain what I'm trying to say here. He said that there are costs to everything. There's a cost to being a disciple. Anything you want to do in life, there are costs. And before you start the thing you want to do, he said you must first sit down and count the cost. If you remember, when I talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures, I said in any adventure in life, the first stage is the stage of sitting down and counting. And what I said at that time is that you are checking what you want to do, what is supposed to produce, the way by which you are going to do what you are going to do. Now, what we said is that when you have done this, what you will have come out with is what Paul said to Timothy, and he called the wisdom for salvation. He said, "You have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation." That is, there is a wisdom, there is a method by which you will do something that will produce salvation or results for you. And I said that after that, your first stage of sitting down and counting, you come out with the wisdom for your own salvation. What do we mean in practical terms? That is, I want to start marriage. How am I going to operate my own home different from what other people are doing so that I do not get the result that they are getting? If I want something better than what they are having, I must be doing something different from what they are doing. And that is what is called wisdom for salvation. And Jesus said, nobody who wants to succeed in anything, here was speaking specifically about the matter of discipleship. And he said, you have to sit down and count the cost. He said, and nobody wants to succeed in doing anything in life, we not count what it will cost him. That is, he will come out knowing that this is what I'm going to have to put in. These are the things I will have to do before he has any chance of succeeding. Now, please, there's an application there, all right, in this thing that we are talking about. Those things that you come out with, which is what I call the wisdom for salvation, are the principles of life I am talking about. Now, this is an interesting part, and listen to this very clearly, especially if you desire godliness, especially if righteousness is what you want to practice in life. Listen, a lot of people who begin to do iniquity, who were formerly righteous, and you will look as a young man, you look and say, how did this guy come to do this? Listen, it is a precious of life that pushed them there. Now listen to me, I'm not justifying it. I am not saying that if you started stealing because you were hungry, that makes you a good thief. You're still a thief. Do you follow my point? If you started lying and cheating because you needed your business to grow, you are still a liar, you are still a cheat. But this is the point I want to bring out. It is pressure that pushes a lot of righteous people, all right, to do the things that they did not want to do. Now, what is the solution, therefore? You will see, before you step into any phase of life, you have to make up your mind what you will do and what you will not do in that particular place. I've discussed this in our different broadcasts. Please try and get some of them, maybe things like cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. So you see, you must have those things that this is what I want to do. This is what I do not want to do. I do not want to become this kind of person, an unrighteous person in government office, an unrighteous person in doing politics, an unrighteous person in doing my business. I don't want to become that. You make up your mind from the beginning, and you do that when there's no pressure. That's where I'm coming to. Those decisions must be made when there's no pressure. Now, this is the characteristic of a failure. Now, listen to this. A man who's going to fail in life, he will dump all those principles because he wants to get results. Let me give you advice as a young man, as a young woman. Before you start, sit down and see what others are doing and know whether you want to do or you don't want to do those things. And say in dedication, in prayer before God, that this is what I do not want to do. Do you follow the point I'm making? A man who wants to fail is the one that knows the right thing to do, but because of results, and he begins to deviate from what he knows to be right. A woman without principles can never do well. A young friend of mine wrote a book, all right, on investment with emphasis on the stock market. There was something he said in that book which to me is so beautiful for everybody to understand. He said, when you want to start investing, have your rules. For example, he said he has a rule. Once his stock starts rising and rising and rising, he doesn't buy it. He said he knows when he buys. He buys when he makes up his mind the thing is good. He said once everybody starts thinking it's good and the thing starts climbing and climbing, he said it has already gone beyond his point. He doesn't buy at that particular point in time. He's not saying you must do that, but he said that is a principle that I use. And listen, anything you want to do in life that you don't have the principles that you use, then you're not planning to do well in life, because there's something about success in life. See, if you're going to read from the book of Hebrews chapter 6, especially from verse 12, you know, what we are told there is this, that we should be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And this is in the beautiful part of it. If you read down to verse 15, he explains something about Abraham. He said God first promised him something in verse 14, saying that I will bless thee. In blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Then verse 15, he said, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Please notice the word endured. I'm bringing out something here. It is a man who has endured that inherits promises. Why do we say endurance if difficult times don't come? Why will we use the word endurance if there will not be times in which we want to give up? That is the reason why the Bible talks about endurance, is because there are situations in which you want to dump the things that you know as sound principles of life and want to go and do that which appears to be producing effective and quick results. And that's the thing about God. God seems, listen to me, to delay a bit. It's not as if he really delays. It's just that the Bible says that God is not slow as some count slowness. That is, the way we count slowness, God appears to be slow. But actually, God is not slow. He knows what he's doing, and he always comes through at the correct time. But this is the point I'm making. A lot of times, God appears slow to us. And this is where temptation is. Satan comes to produce the thing we are waiting for God for. He wants to produce it quickly. And like he always says, bow before me and I will give you all these things. What's the practical thing about that? Abandon your principles and you will get this thing quickly. Listen to me, once you have made up your mind, and this is a principle of success, a man who will have enduring success, he will make up his mind what are the right things that he wants to do and the ones that he must not do, and then he will endure and stay with those things even when trying times come. And that is what marks a man as a success. And that's what will prevent failure in the life of that man. A man who wants to fail, listen, is a man who will bend the rules all the time, okay, for quick results. Let me give you an example. One of the students of the word that I teach asked me some time ago that, sir, in my business, I bid for jobs. All right? People keep on saying, put something or put on top of it. You know, it's very common. One of the iniquities in the country is worse with in government circles, but it's also in private sector. Okay, I want to sell this thing to your company. The MD comes and says, okay, you are quoting 1 million naira, put 200,000 naira for me. So, you know, this kind of things come up all the time. He said, what do I do? Do you understand my point? Now, we discussed that thing at length. I don't have the time now to tell you all the things that we discussed, but he said something, that this is what he has founded his company upon. I am not going to do that for anybody. This is what he has founded his company upon. And there are times people will come to him and say, sir, you know, his co-workers. Ah, no, look, let's just do this. We'll make a lot of money. He said, no, this is my own principle. And listen to this clearly. When you do those things, all right, that is when you refuse, the people, even the people that you are refusing, they know you. That this is the man that will not compromise. Do you understand the point I'm making? They know you that this is the man that will not compromise. They are not giving you the job right now. I want you to understand. What you are getting, like that young man said, is a good name. You are getting a good name. Even the men that don't like you, they will found their own companies. And they will want people to bid for jobs. When you come, do you understand my point? To bid for a job, they will be sure of one thing. This guy's job is honest and accurate. Listen to me. Whatever you want to do in life, the good name must be more important to you. The man who is going to fail, I'm talking about the attributes of failure, is the one who will bend all the time. If they say, give us substandard goods, we will pay you the correct money, we will share the extra profit, he will agree. The one who will say, that okay, put extra money for me, 100,000 naira, he will agree. The gate man say, put 10,000 naira for me, he will agree. And the secretary comes and say, put 50,000 naira for me, he will agree. He doesn't have any principle. Now listen to me, on the short run, he makes a lot of money, oh. Please don't forget that too. He makes a lot of money. But we are talking about enduring success. The Bible says that there is a promise over your life if you're a child of God. You will not get that promise until you have endured. And the word endurance is never used except there are going to be trying times. A man who wants to fail, in the face of trials, he bends all the principles he knows to be good and correct because of the immediate result he's going to get. That is a failure in the making. I don't care how much money he's making now. He is a failure in the making. Listen, I'm not even just talking about men who don't know what is right. But you that you knew what was right and you abandoned those principles. Listen to me, because you want to succeed quickly. What you are begging for is failure. You have entered school, you said, no, I am not going to cheat. I will not be like other people. Then because of pressure, you're about to fail. What if they withdraw you? You now start cheating. You have sown a seed for failure for your future. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. We are not talking about things that get immediate results. Listen, I've told you before several times, I am not just motivating you to succeed in life. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm teaching the ways of righteousness. I'm teaching the word of God. And we are saying that we want you, that is God and I are saying to you, to walk in a manner pleasing to God. And he will bring forth his promise upon your head at the appropriate time. Listen. If you have some principles, stick by them. Listen, you may not get something immediately. Listen, look, I was teaching the other day about Christian warfare. That people don't understand. A lot of us who are doing warfare, we are fighting the devil for our goods. We are fighting the devil for our money. Devil, everything you stole last year, this year, I will recover it from you. Oh, well, if you like that kind of prayer, it's good. But what you don't understand is that what the devil is really fighting for is what you don't know. He's not fighting for your car. He's not fighting for your clothes. He's not fighting for your money. The devil is fighting for your faith. And what you should do in the midst of every trial is to defend your faith. I'm applying it to this matter of principles. Listen, in the midst of every challenge in life, know one thing for sure. It is your faith that is being challenged. It's not money. It's not your company. You're a child of God. Satan is fighting you, all right, so that you can deny God. We don't understand. We go around fighting the devil over nonsense and ridiculous things. And the devil is laughing. He said, the thing I wanted to get from you, I have gotten it. It's called your faith. You have denied your faith. You are forsaking your principles. You are doing the things that you like. You are forsaking the things that you know to be the right thing to do. Yet you are fighting me, Satan, take my hands off my goods. And I'll give you your goods back. The main thing I want is your faith. Listen to me. Let us assume that Job was allowed into the discussion. And Satan told him, listen, just deny God, I won't kill your children. Just deny God, I will give you more money than you have right now. And if Job had agreed, Satan would have been very happy. Because Satan was not going after the goods of Job. Satan was not going after the children of Job. Satan was not going after his business or his money. He was only going after those things as a way to get to the main thing, which was the faith that Job had. I hope you are following the point I'm making. And listen, that's the thing I'm applying to this principle matter. Every pressure in life is going out for your principle. Do you follow my point? You're a young girl. You're about to start looking for a job, or you work somewhere, they're giving such a high target. And then now, end of the month is coming, appraiser is about to show up. You have not made up to 20%. Then one guy will show up who has the ability to give you enough to cover the balance 75%. Except that he asks for something you know you don't want to give. Do you understand my point? Listen, these are the times, like I talked about the matter of fear, then you will get up and say, if I perish, I perish. If you are one to change rules all the time, just because you want to get a particular result, hear me now, I'm warning you ahead of time, eventually you will fail totally. Even the people, listen, even the people right now who you are changing the principles to please, they already know you are a man that does not have principles. I watched a home movie the other day, very interesting. You know, as typical, the movie was shown, I entered the house, I saw it for a few minutes, I told my wife, there they go again, these funny love stories. I said, this is how it will end. I just told the story that this is how it's always been in the days of Indian films when I was young. But let me make a long story short. I was wrong. I was very wrong. What happened in the movie, and I wanted to tell you, to teach you something. A young guy had a fiancé that together with whom he has suffered, and the girl has really labored for him. But let me make a long story short. Right now, she has nothing else apart from him. He got a job in a big oil company, and along the line, the MD of the company asked him to marry his daughter so that he can take over from him as the chairman of the company. That was pressure. He went to ask advice, and people told him that, you know the poverty you came from. He said, what about the girl that's waiting for me? He said, you settle her with money and forget it. Cut it long story short, he finally agreed and started pressuring the MD's daughter to marry him. And the MD said, oh, I liked it so much, I wanted you to actually take over from me as the chairman of this company because I'm terminally ill. And I wanted to test your integrity. You have told me so much about this girl who has helped you all your life. You told me so much about this girl that she has nobody else but you now. And you are ready to abandon her so that you can take over my company. He said, listen, you have proved to me you are not a man of integrity. He said, get out from my sight. Listen, he actually liked the boy so much. And that's the way it is with us and God. I mean, I've heard different stories. There was one my pastor told the other day in church about the young woman. This is a true story. Who, after leaving school, having suffered for many years, finally, she got an offer of a job, and she began to give her the job as an accountant in a company. And the MD said, look, you have everything. You have everything. In fact, I want to employ you. There's only one thing. I mean, why don't you go out with me one night? We'll stay overnight in one hotel. And the girl said, no, I can't do that. The man said, look, this is a very good job. This offer is not a common one. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a car. I'll give you all these kind of things. It's just one night. Let's make a long story short. The girl thought and thought, and finally, after much consideration, I said, God, you will understand now. Look, I need this money. It's not as if I'm a bad girl. I'm not a loose person. I've been looking for a job since this is an opening. This all this man is asking for. Do you understand the point? And finally, she went up to the hotel in the evening to go and meet the man. And as he entered the room, the man said, oh, what a disappointment. I'm a Christian too. I needed somebody of integrity to handle my finances, and you have shown to me that you are not one. And the girl left the hotel in the confusion. She tried to cross the road. The car knocked her down. Listen to me. I was told that I heard the story that this thing really happened. But whether it really happened like that or not, I know that the spirit behind that story is the story of life. If you don't have principles and you're willing to stick by your principles, listen, I'm not saying you don't improve in life, but your principles should only get stronger and more righteous. You don't weaken them because of circumstances. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Make up your mind. This business I want to do, these are the kind of business I will not do. Everybody's rigging their pumps to make extra money. I won't do that. If I need to increase my price so that I'll balance out, I will. But as to rig my pumps so as to deliver 9 liters instead of 10 to the man who's paying for 10, I will never do that. You are in the market. You should have principles that will never say to somebody, this is a genuine thing if it is not the genuine one. The desire to have is money. Oh, come on. It will not make me say that which is not right. Listen, my friends. Listen, children of God. We must have principles. The man without them is a man who's planning to fail in life. The man without them is a man who will never do well in the things that he's doing. Listen, like I said before, it's the immediate result that Satan tries to use to persuade us to forsake the way of righteousness. Do you understand my point? Now, when I'm talking about this, I mean in everything. You must have principles concerning your studies. You must have principles concerning examining students if you're a lecturer. You must have principles concerning your work. you must have principles concerning ministry. Before I set out into ministry as a person, there are things I said I would never do, especially concerning money in ministry. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I will never use sweet talk to beg money from anybody to do anything. Listen, I thank God for men who taught me these things. I didn't just wake up one morning. And that's one thing. You must go after instruction. The Bible said, heed instruction and be wise. Do you understand my point? I'm happy you are sitting down there tonight listening to me. I am happy because what you are doing is that you are going after instruction. It's the knowledge of instruction that makes you wise and gives you the wisdom unto salvation. Like the men I listened to, several of them. And they said one of the things that killed me in ministry is when they start telling all kinds of stories because they want to collect people's money, making promises that they can't deliver on. I always say, God, if you won't do your work, then I won't do it too. That is the two of us. I mean, look, my job is to preach and I will continue preaching. If it's only two people I can preach to, let me preach to them. Listen, I have had desires. There are things I've wanted to do and there's no money to do it. Therefore, I don't do it. That's just simple. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? God didn't call me to be famous in life. He called me to preach the gospel. He said, Paul plants, Apollos water. God gave the increase. Let me tell you something. When you are stuck by your principles and you have lost right now, you are accumulating for yourself treasure in heaven. You are accumulating for yourself power before God. What you are doing is that you are putting weight into your words. You are putting weight into your soul so that one day you will speak before the throne of God and God will say, that is an important man in my presence. Change everything just to please him. Do you understand my point? But the Bible says a double-minded man does not receive anything from God. He's tossing to and fro. He doesn't understand what he wants. He doesn't understand the laws by which he should run his life. He said he receives nothing from God. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's our number three principle. Fear is the first one. Two, pride that results in arrogance. That's the second one. And then third, lack of principles or not sticking by the principles that you know to be right so that you can get quick results. That is another thing that makes sure that we walk towards poverty. I hope you've gotten that point. Now, before I go, let me just introduce the next one and then we'll develop it fuller next time. Remember, we said we're talking about seven attitudes that produce failure. Talking about fear, arrogance, pride, and then talking about the lack of principles. And the next one I want to talk about is a matter of lying. Now, this is amazing. When I started preaching, I did not think I'll have to teach adults not to lie. But this is the interesting part. I found out that people lie so much. And actually, this is very tied to the thing I just finished saying about integrity. About principles. It's about integrity. Do you understand my point? I have found out that a liar is a man who will most certainly fail in life. Listen, that thing I'm telling you is so true. I never knew I had to tell adults not to lie. I thought lying was for children, especially Christians. It's amazing how those who call themselves believers lie with their mouth every time. They cause a disagreement between their tongue and their soul, therefore causing confusion within their spiritual substance. Why do they tell lies anyway? Let me tell you how God views this lying matter. Now, if you read in the book of Acts chapter 5, you see the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I just want to use that one to explain to us how God views this lying matter. And you see, and again, why people tell lies. These disciples were there, gathered together, the church was increasing, and because of the situations and the faith in their hearts, people had things in common, and everybody will say what they have, and I will bring it and lay down at the apostles' feet. And this man and his wife conspired. They sold a plot of land and went to decide at the apostles and said, look, we sold a plot of land and this is the whole money. But it was a lie. They had kept some aside. Now there was something, of course, Ananias died immediately and his wife, when she came, asked about what happened, repeated the story that her husband told, she also died. Now this is the interesting part. Peter says something. He said, was the land not your own? Do you get my point? Nobody forced you to go and bring it. Nobody said you must go and sell it. You were the one that made up your mind that you will go and sell it. So why did you now decide? Why did Satan fill your heart with lying to now come before the Holy Spirit and start lying about what happened and what did not happen? And for that reason, to tell you how God frowns upon it, for that reason, the people died. But why did they do it? That's why I told the story of Peter. because they wanted to get fame. They wanted to get the feeling of importance amongst people of God. And I have discovered that one of the major reasons why people tell lies is to make themselves look important. Listen, there are different kinds of lying. There's a lying with your mouth and there's lying with your attitude. That you don't use your mouth, but you use your behavior to tell your own lies. For example, I'll tell the very common one. And please listen to this. Deliver yourself from it as I'm saying it. You start buying clothes that are more expensive than what you really can afford, you are living a lie. So that people will think that you are richer than you really are. You are driving a car more than the one, alright, that you can afford. So that people will think you are richer than you really are. You are living a lie. You are talking, and that's the one that makes me laugh. I'll see people talk. They like to throw names. So last week I was in the governor's office, and so we're talking. The governor was explaining to us, and you are looking at the man. The guy does not know the address of any local government secretariat. And I'm looking at him, and okay, you were in the governor's office, you're as poor as you ever was. You're as uninfluential as you ever was. Nothing has ever moved for you. You can never do a proper business, but you stand there and be telling me stories. Last week, when I was in Abuja, I was in the office of the Attorney General, and we're discussing the issues concerned, and the person is saying all of this because he wants to feel important, he wants to feel accepted. I've seen people who even lie about how much money they had. I remember those days. My mother told me about one man that worked in the same place where she worked, you know, and this man he looked rather poor and, you know, and my mother is a very kind person, and, you know, she would like to give him stuff, you know, and food stuff, money and all of that. She'll be just in us at home. But anytime they are in the office and the man comes in and he's talking, he starts telling you about his brother who's a colonel, and this was the days of military regime, you can imagine. You know, about his brother who's a colonel, about his son who's currently in NDA. He tells all kinds of stories. My mother said, look, it appears like this guy is actually more comfortable than I am. So why do I have to give Dashim anything? What am I saying? Because of his own mouth, he denied himself of a lot of things that he could have gotten. Do you follow me? What I'm going to explain? Listen, one attitude you must never have in life, if you have it, drop it now. If you don't want to fail in life, is telling lies and exaggerating. Two of them are the same thing. Listen, a liar is a failure in the making. Hey, how was your grade? Ah, my God, I thank God is all is. The guy is struggling. In fact, there are times the person who is asking, his spirit has been burdened and God has placed it upon his heart to come and help you. But of course, when he talks and you tell him how wonderful things are, what can he do? Some people say, no, I'm talking by faith. Some of the faith people talk. Listen. A faith man does not mean he doesn't know exactly what is happening. A man of faith is not one who just wants to deceive other people as to give impressions. Please get this point clear. I'm warning about the things that make people feel. I'll develop this lying thing further next time. Please, I hope you've gotten the point I made on this thing so far.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.